Austin 360 Radio. I'm Amy Edwards. Hey, Ade.
Hey, Amy.
How are you?
I'm doing so well.
You've already come in with all this food, and I can't. I'm so gonna eat on the air because everybody loves that.
I had a culinary discovery last night.
What was it?
Well, I also dreamed about you, and it was a very
sweet dream.
You
had a dream about me and a culinary discovery. You, maybe I brought you the culinary discovery. Maybe it was
they
my
might
magic.
Be connected. Yeah, you were. You had entered a songwriting contest.
I entered a songwriting contest. Did I win?
No, and you were really upset about it, but you were also like okay, even though you didn't win, because you're always okay.
I am okay. Yeah. I get there. I'm not always okay in the moment, but then I get there. It doesn't take me long. I don't let myself wallow for very long. I go, all right, this time is done.
That's where the growth happens.
It is. So you got to move on.
Okay. So last night I had a jar of tahini in my pantry.
Okay.
Because I had made some tahini brownies. So.
Tahini
is a sesame paste.
Yes. I'm not brave enough to mess with it. I haven't done it.
Yeah.
Which I really want to, but I'm intimidated by tahini.
Well, I had always been too, but I saw this recipe in a magazine and it was like brownies with a swirl of tahini in the middle that was kind of like peanut butter, and I just had to make it. So I made them. I wrote about
it.
It was delicious. It was so good.
I'm checking that out.
It made a sophisticated brownie. That had a little bit more savory in it than a normal brownie would. And you could do peanut butter for sure with a similar effect. But tahini people often have because they sometimes might make hummus. But I've never used a whole jar of tahini.
Okay.
So if you go to Austin 360, you can find this tahini brownie recipe.
Yes. I'll link to it with the podcast too. And I want to check it out. I can't keep up. You write so much. You work so hard.
Oh,
it's hard for me to keep up with everything you do. So I'm so glad you come in here and share with me.
You're very sweet. So this is 11 years of putting together a food section. I know how much food I have to cook in a week to put out a food section. So in next week's food section, I'm going to be writing about hummus and homemade pita.
So how often do you have a revelation or a discovery? I mean,
if I'm really cranking, it's 1 week, and then I can write about like an aha moment in a column.
1 week seems like a lot,
but that doesn't always happen.
Okay. Okay.
So oftentimes I rely, you know, the taste test that I do, sometimes there's a discovery in the grocery store that I want to share with readers,
mm-hmm.
or
sure.
it's a person. So like I have this really great profile I'm working on next week of a family who does chili relleno fries every year.
You told me about this and I'm very interested.
It's like bigger than their Thanksgiving.
So cool.
And they're all from El Paso, so there's like a lot going on there.
Yeah.
All very sweet.
Big
but
time.
But this is a surprise aha moment. So I had
you don't always come in and say, I've made a discovery, you know, like, and so I'm so dying to eat this right now. My mouth's watering. So
let me first tell you about, tell you about the hummus. I've cracked the code on hummus and let me, because it's very.
I didn't know there was a code we needed to crack.
Well, have you ever tried to make hummus and it turns out really crappy and you're like, why is this so bad?
Mm-hmm.
I
tried to make it. It's chickpeas and olive oil and all that kind of stuff.
And so
it wasn't great.
I can remember in college just like pureeing chickpeas and being like, why doesn't this taste very good? But I also do not like most store-bought hummus. Most store-bought hummus has a weird flavor to it and weird texture, not mm-hmm. so into. But when I'm at a Mediterranean restaurant, I'm just like, God, can I take a bath in this stuff?
Same. So
and then take a bath. And then grandma's hummus. This is a pro tip for Austinites.
Yeah.
Grandma's hummus is the best locally made hummus.
It
that
is.
You can get.
It's a little garlic heavy for me.
Yeah.
I'm sensitive to garlic.
Okay.
So little garlic heavy.
Yeah.
Damn, it's addictive.
The
you can eat it.
So good.
It is the best.
It's like $5 for a little thing of it. And mm-hmm. so it's like a treat. It's a sometimes food for me. And also I don't usually finish a whole thing.
No.
But chickpeas, I always have chickpeas in the cabinet. And then I have had tahini in the cabinet forever. And so finally I found a recipe from this book called Cook 90 is the name of this cookbook. And it's like, all you have to do is boil the chickpeas. I don't know why I'd never really thought
about... So
they're
in a can or jar.
So they're already... So I always thought, well, because they're canned chickpeas, they're already cooked.
They're ready
to
go.
I can just use them.
Right, me too.
That's the problem.
So that's the code you cracked.
Yes, is that
you boil them.
You boil them in water. So you take... you drain them from the can, and then I took two cans, put them in a pot of wild water, covered them with an inch of water, and boiled them for probably 20 or 25 minutes.
So wow, that's a long
until
time.
They're very
How do you
soft.
Know when they're done? Oh,
until they're starting to fall apart,
mushy.
Yes, and then and while it's boiling, I put in a food processor all the other ingredients. So about a quarter cup lemon juice, 2 cloves garlic, about 3 or 4 tablespoons of tahini and olive oil, and then while the chickpeas are still warm, you drain off most of the water, but you have to reserve like a cup of the cooking water. That's the other key.
It's called aquafaba, right?
Dang, girl,
you impressed.
You got it.
Boom.
I know.
I just impressed you.
I know. Aquafaba, mm-hmm. this is like a new discovery that vegans have made that you can make meringues and
someone told me about it and then I went looking for it. I didn't understand
that,
but
you
now
make it. Yeah,
that's what you do. So and that's the aqua
fava. So you can actually use it as like an egg substitute. And so
really?
But that's why you actually need that cooking water to thin out the hummus. So you take the warm chickpeas. That's the other key, is they have to be warm when you puree them. Because
why?
That's why it breaks down the texture. Because if
really?
If they get cold, they start to get chunky. And so you okay. get this, that tiny little micro texture.
I'm
in
so
it.
Impressed. Yeah. You're like a scientist Ooh, right now.
Well, if only I knew like why all this happened, then I would legit be a scientist. But anyway, and then...
smells so good. It smells like grandma's.
The recipe author had said, you know, 4 minutes in the food processor and let it go for a full 4 minutes. But in my experience, though, I'm going to tweak the recipe and run it in the paper next week because I think you need about a full cup of the cooking water. And
okay.
And you have to add that at the beginning. Otherwise, my food processor was going to burn out if I let it go for 4 minutes. Because it was really tasty and really thick.
Yeah.
But when I added the cooking water, it was just perfect.
I can already say that the texture of this looks incredible.
Yes.
And like, it's just also sitting in here.
It's room temperature. Like, I don't think hummus is supposed to be cold.
I'm with you. I'm down.
Yeah. And so
like, why would it need to be refrigerated?
Yeah. So when I served
it
for dinner.
Can I try it now?
Yes.
I'm dying to
eat
this.
I know. I've been talking about how good this hummus is.
I know you walked in and took a bite and I was like, wait, whoa, what? Without me? Oh my God.
It might be a little garlicky for you, but the only adjustment that I made.
It's fine. No, it's not as garlicky as grandma's.
I used a teaspoon and a half of salt, and then I did add more lemon juice as I was. I tasted it once, and I was like, you know what? It needs a little bit more acid, so I squeezed
it's
one more
perfect.
Lemon. Yeah.
It's really, this is perfect hummus.
It really is.
Addie.
We were
great
amazed.
Job.
I you know, very rarely do like I taste something in the kitchen, I do a little dance. Mm. I did a little dance.
Oh, my God.
So what you're eating it with was the other big discovery.
Oh, God.
I made pita bread for the first time. And all
you just
I did,
keep talking so I can eat.
Yeah, please do. So I I make this no-knead bread that we've talked about.
Yes.
And it really is such a staple in the kitchen that is the pizza dough recipe, and now it is my pizza dough. I mean, pita dough. And
mm-hmm.
I guess I'm starting to get convinced that you only need one method of making dough, and then that can be your master dough for everything that you need.
Oh my God, it's so good. The bread is so good.
And,
okay, yeah.
And so
this is your master dough.
So I make pizza with this dough. And the only difference between how I do pizza and pita is that how I stretch it. Pizza is much thinner and it has like a little crust around the outside. But with this, I just floured the counter really well. And I took what would usually go into a no-knead, you know, like a dough or like a ball for like a loaf. And I chopped it up into 6 pieces and made like 6 mini little balls and then took a rolling pin and just kind of rolled it to maybe like, I don't know, like a quarter inch thick and kind of even. And so it was just like almost like a flat. Well, it is a flat bread. And then I took a searing hot cast iron skillet and just threw it on there.
No way.
And then flipped it and didn't overcook it so it got crispy. So it's nice and soft. And I mean, that will not last very long. It'll probably get moldy in a couple of days because there's a lot of moisture
so
left.
So good on its own without the hummus even.
And so and so that is yeast, salt, flour, and water.
It's got that like good bread flavor.
Mm-hmm. And if you
what is that? What do we call that?
I don't know. I think it's that yeast and the flour. But I would love to experiment with this with a gluten-free flour. Because I know that there's a way to do this gluten-free. And they've got this one-for-one baking mix that Bob's Red Mill makes that I think probably would be a good... So maybe I'll try experimenting that. Because I know you often
like
do
Bob's.
Gluten-free, right?
Mm-mm.
Oh, you don't? Okay.
No. And I don't really understand what seitan is. It's vital wheat gluten. Mm-hmm. So I eat a ton of that. I don't know if it's actually gluten or the kind of gluten that people stay away from. Mm-hmm. I feel like it's not. It's some sort of derivative. But anyway, no.
Do you do bread?
I can eat that. I mean, I don't really a lot just because I kind of stay
high
away
carb.
From those type of carbs. But I mean, I don't, if I eat it, it's fine.
Yeah.
You know.
But look, flatbread and and hummus. This is like a dream come true. And I never have made pita before. So that was
really,
that was a big win. Yeah.
Addie, this is a huge week for you.
I
am so here for it.
Thank you. Well, I'm glad to get to share
it.
I am
so here for
it. So I'm going to make a nice little picture of it. And then in next week's newspaper, I will explain.
Yeah.
A little bit more of the details.
I can't stop. I got to take another bite.
Yay. And just think you could add like roasted sweet potatoes to that. You could add, you know, if you wanted to sort of try to make it more healthy.
I eat roasted sweet potatoes every damn day.
I love roasted sweet potatoes.
I roast them with nothing.
Yeah.
I just like cut them up small, put them on a pan and put them in the oven at 425 for like 40 minutes, 45 minutes. And I'll do that like once or twice a week.
And then you could put it in salads and
tacos. I put it in every...
Yeah.
It literally adds so much flavor to every single thing. I'm kind of a creature of habit anyway, but I love them so much.
I put it in chili. Sweet potatoes, cubes, hell sweet potatoes, yeah, in chili.
And I do it without any olive oil, without any anything. I just do it straight up and plain.
Is it like about an inch cube? Because
I do a little smaller. Yeah. I do pretty small.
Yeah. Too. Do you let them get brown on the edges?
Mm-hmm. Mm. That's the way I like it.
Mm-hmm. So it's like pumpkin spice season right now. You could do, going back to the hummus, like if you actually got a pumpkin or you wanted to add like pumpkin puree to it and have sort of like a seasonal.
You could turn that into one of those dessert ones that we had.
Oh, gosh. Now you're taking. Oh, Amy.
Did I just take that the wrong way?
Now looking back, I did not like those only because now this is what hummus is supposed to taste like.
It is what it's
like
supposed to taste like.
Chocolate.
Or
snickerdoodle.
It's weird.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. But then again, you combine tahini and brownies and it was good. So
but this
who knows?
Recipe is so easy, your daughter could make it.
Oh my God, my daughter.
Maybe Whitney
totally
can make it. She thinks that she's such
Let's
a bad
cook. Not get extreme.
She thinks
okay?
that she's such a bad cook. And I think she is more talented than she
probably is.
For.
She probably is.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Thanks for letting me share this with you.
Dude, no. Thank you. The pleasure's all on this side of the table, Addie. 100%.